You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right every single day of the week. Hey, listen, we're going to go to one of my favorite segments now. Once a week we do this, I get two of my conservative radio talk show brethren to come on with me, and we do what we call the Grand Council. And so I'll go ahead and call the roll right now. Do I have a Dale Jackson on the horn with us right now?
Always ready for you.
Always ready. Dale Jackson, thank you for your service, by the way, here on this Veterans Day. Appreciate you, bro.
Well, thank you so much. Some of us did real stuff like you did. Other guys played Mario Kart in a tent in Yakima, Washington.
I don't believe that for a second. All right. Loose the phones there, Copper. Do we have a Jeff Poor? Jeff, are you present for the Grand Council?
I am here.
You are here, and you sound eager and ready to go. So, Copper, I pronounce a quorum. Go ahead and hit that sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, it's Thursday, so we're in the Grand Council. I now pronounce us convened. So, fellas, I do believe that I went first last time. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there and say, Jeff, you are first to go, man. What is your question for the council?
So you've seen the flurry of polls we've been dealing with here with this U.S. Senate race. We've deliberated over them, I think, sufficiently. My question here to you guys is, does it seem like the Mo Brooks campaign caught a little bit off guard here, that they didn't see this this gap shrinking the way it has, and here we are today, it's early November, and this thing's at least within – at minimum within 20 points now.
Dale, you go first, man.
I think so. I think so. I think that most people viewed this as a runaway, and I think some still do. I think these numbers we're seeing this week are strategic, and it's smart. I don't think it's as close as they're making it, but what it does tell you is the gap is closing, and that is important. And people are going to have to pay attention to that, and they're going to have to react to it and change steam. Otherwise, the gap's just going to continue to close.
I tell you what else I see in this thing, too. I do believe the gap is closing. I have a hard time believing that she literally, Katie Britt, literally closed the gap from being down, like, was it like 30-something to 12 to now she's neck and neck. I mean, that's a huge jump in, like, what, 3-4 weeks? But she's had the luxury of being able to get out and do what is a really good job at retail campaigning. She's out there seeing folks and doing a very positive campaign. And of course, Mo Brooks has not had that luxury. He's had to be stuck in D.C. dealing with the jobs of being a congressman. That being said, one of the other things that I think is not being noticed much right now is in that second poll, the one done by Signal, it showed that the new entry to the race, Mike Durant, who's going to be on the show here in about 30 minutes, Mike Durant has jumped in at 12 points, which is exactly where Katie Britt was allegedly a few weeks ago. So Mike Durant came in, plowed right through Linda Blanchard and Jessica Taylor, and took their steam, basically, if they had any. And he's now at 12 within a matter of a few weeks of being in the race, and that I think is also significant.
Yeah, Jeff, I think one of the things that we have to remember here is, as I see it, we're watching – as if you took a majority of these polls and mixed them all together and came up with like a poll of polls average, we're looking at a lead of 20 points that just evaporated. And I would the thing that makes me raise questions about this is that they didn't grab a bunch of undecideds and those undecideds become decideds in Britt and Durant's favor. The Brooks lead just evaporated, and all of his 30% or excuse me over 30 over 50%. Of the people who said they were with Brooks, all of a sudden decide, nope, never mind, I'm with Britt, or I'm with Durant. I don't buy that part.
Yeah, I think there's probably a bit more of a spread than what the last one said. Jeff, go ahead, man. What you got?
I think this is a very pivotal time for the Brooks campaign. That I think early on people thought that this was a foregone conclusion. There was no alternative out there. So what the heck? I'm going to go with Mo Brooks. He's the he's our best shot to keep in that seat. Not that it was in danger. But now you have a viable alternative out there. More people are maybe starting to pay attention and consider the alternative, and you're going to lose some of those votes. it would behoove the Brooks campaign to have some kind of response to this right now. They just seem like they're walking in quicksand. I don't know what that response would be. Maybe go back on the airwaves or do something. But we need a counterpunch if you're in the Mo Brooks camp.
I completely agree with that. Mo's going to have to double down and get some positive retail campaigning going. All right, so let me jump on the next question then. So, state politics. Joe Bonner, former Congressman Joe Bonner, former chief lobbyist for the University of Alabama system Joe Bonner, current chief of staff for the governor Joe Bonner, is now going to be president of University of South Alabama, meaning that the person who many believe is the one calling the shots in the governor's inner circle is leaving that office. What do y'all make of this, and who's going to take his place? I'll go to you, Jeff Poor.
My understanding, Liz Fillmore, the deputy chief of staff, is the odds-on favorite. I thought there had been some notice about Bill Poole, formerly in the legislature, now the finance chairman, but my understanding is that finance chair spot, or not chairman, but a finance director, is a much more powerful, much more coveted spot, much more important than being the governor's chief of staff. I would think that's where that goes. I don't know how much this is going to change the direction of that office. I do think you lose a lot of institutional wisdom by losing Joe Bonner. So I am curious to see if they are able to be as effective as they had been this quadrennium, because I'm going to operate on the assumption that KIV wins re-election. And can they be that effective with a new Speaker of the House? Because we know that's happening. And will, you know, a lot of KIV's power this quadrennium has come from the legislature and her ability to march in lockstep with the Alabama House of Representatives.
Dale, what do you think, buddy?
Well, I think that's right. I think all of that is true. Bonner has a little bit of name ID that we're obviously not going to have with this next person, and that probably plays well when dealing with the legislature, and you have to deal with those kind of things. So I think that's an issue. And, you know, I just look at it like this. Is that a better job? Is being the governor's chief of staff not a better job than being the head of a university after he'd already done it at the University of Alabama? I don't get it.
Well, and so I will confirm that I've heard the same thing that Jeff had, that Liz Fillmore, and many people who don't know who Liz Fillmore is, I've known her for years. Liz Fillmore was basically the right-hand person for Lieutenant Governor Ivey, went with her to the governor's mansion, has become the person who is at her right side at any given time. She's like the other chief of staff. But she also, it's going to be interesting to see how she's received if she gets this position, because I don't know if some of the other senior cabinet members are going to respond well to her in an authoritative sense, because she does appear young, and her experience has been pretty much being the right-hand person of the governor as opposed to running a staff. So that's going to be interesting to see. I do think, though, I think there's something to be said about why Joe Bonner decided to leave. I mean, if she's a shoe-in for re-election, why wouldn't you want to stay there and do more? I think he saw a way out from an administration that he's less enamored with than one would think, and that's just my
Let me respond to that real quick, if you would.
Yeah.
There's a geographical issue here. Joe Bonner lives across the bay in Baldwin County. He has a house in Montrose, I think. And I just think this long-distance commuting thing was becoming a little tedious for him and his family. So I think that was some family pressures led to this decision, too. And this position opened up, and it was there for the grabbing, and he couldn't leave it sitting there. So I just think it was a logical choice given his circumstances.
All right, fair enough. Before we hit the commercial, let's do a quick one here. Dale, you got a question for us.
The Literacy Act delay is up again. Here we are of KIV talking about how she wants it delayed after vetoing it and getting all the praise for doing that. Do they just end up killing this thing? If the argument is it's going to put too much strain on the school systems to hold these kids back because of the pandemic year, it's going to be bad for the kids. Whatever your argument is going to be, is not going to change. The numbers are not going to get significantly better in the next couple of years. Are they just going to kill this thing eventually altogether?
Well, so here's the thing. It's legislated right now.
Right.
And she vetoed it. So she vetoed the changes to it. So how does she, as a head of the school board and governor in one branch of government, decide just to do away with what the legislative branch of government already told her?
I think she's calling
on
them to do it, right?
Well, she may be for next session, but it's still in place for right now. And truthfully, they passed it once before. And I just have a hard time believing that they're going to continue to go down the road of enforcing mediocrity and calling for lowering the standards when we're number 50 in the nation, and there's no reason to continue doing that except to try and shade yourself away from parents who will be mad when their child doesn't progress to fourth grade.
Correct.
So, Jeff, you and I talked about it this morning. You want to wrap that up before we go to the break?
No, I absolutely think you're right. I think that, though, the legislature, keep this in mind, meets in January. They could take this off the books and tie for before the school year is over and before they can hold these third graders back. I think that's what they're gaming for. I think that's what they're gunning for. What ought to be interesting to see is how the AEA weighs in here with these elections coming up, if they start padding some campaign coffers for some of these legislators, and if that is effective. That's something you got to watch this coming up session.
All right, folks, listen, that's the Grand Council right here. Let's go to the short break there, Copper. Fellas, you hang on during the break. We'll come back and reconvene. Just a brief momentary recess with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coastal areas and our own Dale Jackson right here at WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And no matter where you are, go to rightsideradio.org. You can click listen live, and no matter where you is, there we is. So just know that if you're getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM, FM for WVNN, you can still find us anywhere in the world at rightsideradio.org. All right, listen, I'm going to go back to the questions. I think, Jeff, were you next? I think you are. Go ahead, man.
Reportedly, Richard Shelby is putting $5 million.
You are stealing my question, Jeff. You are stealing my question outright. You read my notes? You're stealing my question. Go ahead.
Well, their senatorial campaign. I'll phrase the question this way, though. I think money's a big deal, but I don't think it's as big of a deal in Alabama as it is in other places. And I'll just point to Roy Moore's success. I'll say look at Luther Strange or look at Doug Jones even, that you don't need to raise the most money to win in Alabama. Is that how much of a factor is money going to be in this U.S. Senate race?
Well, I think money, this is me talking here, I think money is going to wind up being a huge factor in pretty much any race because that's how you buy campaign signs, T-shirts, billboards, ad time on TV and radio, all that stuff. And when you just drop $5 million, I mean, literally, she's already got several million, and they're talking about dropping $5 million. Well, that would be huge. My question though is, and I'll just spin off of this is this good for Brooks? And by the way, I noticed the story is on AL.com citing Washington Post as their source. So two, you know, questionable sourcings there, but, nonetheless, what is that? Does Brooks have a storyline here where he can just play the establishment Republican mantra over and over and over again because of this? Dale, you go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they beat that drum. Beat that drum to death. That's exactly what he should be doing. And that's probably exactly what he will do. And he'll talk about how all those people who fought him in Washington, D.C. are now trying to fight his candidate in D.C. or in Alabama.
Yeah, I think so. They're trying to scare away folks like Club for Growth and others that are going to put money into their candidates. And if they see, you know, suddenly the candidate they're opposing has $7-8 million, it gets hard to square up your budget and decide whether you're going to put more money into your guy. So that's going to be an issue, I do believe. But it's like you said, Jeff, I don't think money winds up being everything. So you want to tidy that up a little bit?
Yeah, Mo Brooks has never been a big fundraiser, and he wins his races, at least in the 5th Congressional District. I think that's number one. But number two, there becomes involved diminishing returns. I know it sounds, counterintuitive, but you can't have too much money. What are you going to do with it? And you only can buy so much ad time before the market saturated. So I think while Kenny Britt will have a war chest, a significant war chest, these will be used wisely, and that's what we need to see out of that for this to be effective.
All right, good enough. Dale, we got about 1 minute, man. I'm going to let you take the last question. You got anything?
All right, I got into one of the gubernatorial candidates the other day about whether or not the Earth was flat or not. We going to see an actual opponent jump in here? I keep hearing Tim James. When's that happening, and is it happening?
January. I think it's December at the earliest, January at the latest. I'm not sure why. I think their strategy is to come in a little bit late and be able to pile on as opposed to spending a lot of money along the way. But I do believe that Tim James is serious right now, and I think we'll see him soon. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, well, can you imagine this scenario, guys? Kay Ivey's trying to suspend the Literacy Act, their grade reading requirements, and then here comes Tim James into the top rope during the legislative session. So that would be a good opening for him. I hear a little earlier, but maybe that is always a moving target with Tim James, it seems.
It is. All right, fellas. Well, listen, I appreciate you. As always, your perspectives add weight to the discussion. So Dale Jackson, WVNN right here, and our brother Jeff Poore down south on 106.5. We appreciate you being on for the Grand Council today, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too, sir.
All right, folks. Listen, we're coming back. I just during the last break, I was able to make connection with Senate candidate Mike Durant. It is Veterans Day. He is a veteran with an incredible career himself, and we'll have Mike Durant on here momentarily on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.